When it comes to productivity, how much you get done in a given amount of time, it's all about what you measure. Let's apply this to Congress. I'm David Brancaccio. If wheel spinning and posturing were the metric, analysts might say productivity in Congress was high this year, but in terms of getting laws on the books to make things better, productivity was low. Our Nancy Marshall Genzer covers Washington and has been looking through the record. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, David.
26 bills were passed by both houses of Congress and signed into law by the president this year. That, according to the data analytics firm Quorum, not a lot.
Not a lot because of the huge partisan and philosophical divide on Capitol Hill. Democrats believe the government should be doing things, but some Republicans say the less government, the better. Here's how Molly Reynolds sees it. She's a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution.
Even as the House was voting a lot this year, they were not always voting on things that were in pursuit of actual legislative accomplishments. A lot of time using the floor to say things as opposed to using the floor to do things.
And Reynolds says the last time we had a divided Congress like this was in 2019. And that year, she says, 105 bills were signed into law compared to, again, only 26 this year.
So if lawmakers received performance-based pay, if their salary was based on how productive they were, how much would they receive?
They certainly wouldn't get a bonus, David. Congress still hasn't approved more aid for Ukraine, Israel, and the border, and it faces looming government shutdown deadlines next year.
Nancy, thank you. With three more trading days left of 2023, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are little changed this morning. Year to date, the NASDAQ is up 45%, S&P up just under 25%, and the Russell 2000 index of generally not so big companies is up nearly 18% since the ball last dropped in Times Square over here. One of the world's biggest shipping companies is saying today it's still too dangerous to send its cargo through the Red Sea. This from Hapag-Lloyd, based in Hamburg, Germany. Rival Maersk says it'll soon resume the route, where there have been drone and missile attacks by Iran-supported rebels in Yemen. The BBC's Aletra Naismith has more.
Hapag-Lloyd suspended shipping through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal after an attack on one of its container ships. The crew was unharmed and the vessel continued its journey, but the company said the situation was unsafe and the risks unacceptable. An international military coalition led by the US is being deployed in the critical waterway to safeguard international trade. Maersk, another shipping giant, has said it's preparing to resume operations, although there doesn't appear to be a specific timetable. Houthi attacks are continuing. At least two were reported on Tuesday. Global freight companies are waiting eagerly to see security conditions improve.
Another firm, CMA CGM of France, says it will slowly ramp up the number of vessels transiting through. Top books of 2023, top words, songs. What about objects that define the year drawing to a close? Rob Walker is a journalist who puts together a list for the publication Fast Company as part of a column he writes called Branded. Rob, welcome.
Great to be talking to you again. Happy holidays.
Let's just get a taste of what's on the list here. I mean, it's going to be some Taylor Swift something, right?
Good bet. Taylor Swift is such a unique figure. Obviously, it was a big Swifty year. She was the person of the year. So someone like that, they don't just have merch. They have a whole ecosystem of trading, making, and showing off, in this case, friendship bracelets. And Taylor has also been in the news for her love life. And apparently, Travis Kelce, at the beginning of his courtship of Taylor Swift, made a friendship bracelet with his phone number on it and tried to get it to her.
Perhaps as ubiquitous in the culture, although not the same level of singing talent, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
There's a connection here. What's an Elon Musk object?
As you remember, there used to be a company called Twitter, which he bought. Then he got an idea for a new name, which was X, had a 30-foot high letter X installed on the roof of the former Twitter headquarters in San Francisco.
X-owner Elon Musk has been tweeting, saying the building's landlord keeps calling the police about our sign modifications.
Made their headquarters look like the headquarters of some sort of supervillain. But that was removed after complaints, and the city is apparently going to level some fines. I don't know where that stands.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right, because Twitter is ones and zeros. It's virtual. It's on screen. So what's the object? And he figured it out. But that does lead me to another question, which is, our world is so virtual. I mean, is it getting harder to find 3D objects in physical space that are emblematic?
I just think they're becoming more intertwined. And the more digital we get, the more we crave these sort of physical manifestations of the digital. And the digital world amplifies physical things.
Well, she got here for Objects 2023. Well, Barbie, enough said. Maybe picket signs from the big strikes of the year, the UAW, but also, of course, actor-writer.
Yeah, the clever picket signs really got a lot of attention in a good way for their cause. And there was one that was, ChatGPT doesn't have childhood trauma, meaning it will never replace the great writers. But these are people standing outside of buildings with signs made with markers that echoed across the culture, thanks again to social media.
Are you going to bring any of these objects into your own personal collection? On your list of objects of the year is the Donald Trump mugshot t-shirt embraced by lovers of Donald Trump and detractors, all of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I would.
In an interview with Newsmax, the former president called his booking a terrible experience, but it hasn't kept him from selling mugshot merchandise.
This sort of merchification of politics has just become one of the most interesting recent trends, where anything that one side is criticizing the other for, the other side turns into merch. And the mugshot stuff raised $7 or $8 million in a matter of days after Trump was booked at Fulton County Jail.
With his list of defining objects from 2023, journalist Rob Walker, he publishes his list in Fast Company. You can also subscribe to his newsletter on Substack. It's called The Art of Noticing. Rob Walker, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm David Brancaccio, and we are from APM, American Public Media.